As we've been saying, tonight Donald Trump will formally accept the nomination as the Republican presidential candidate. And as you probably know, his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, spoke at the convention last night. Pence called Trump the genuine article who's willing to tell Americans what needs to be done.
When Donald Trump does his talking, he doesn't tiptoe around the 1,000 new rules of political correctness. He's his own man, distinctly American. And where else would an independent spirit like his find a following than in the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Throughout the campaign, Donald Trump has waged war on what he calls political correctness and says he speaks his mind, even if it offends certain people or groups. As WBUR's senior political reporter Anthony Brooks tells us now, from the GOP convention in Cleveland, it's a war that has delighted and energized many GOP delegates.
It's been a long campaign for Donald Trump and a long list of people and groups he's insulted. Among them, Mexicans, Muslims, women, the disabled, the media, even the Pope. When he began his campaign, that he could offend so many and continue to climb in the polls baffled political observers and frustrated his opponents, including Jeb Bush in January in New Hampshire.
Do you want a president that disparages women, Muslims of all kinds, people with disabilities, Hispanics? I mean, we're getting down to about 90% of all people here. I mean, at what point do we say enough of this?
Well, Trump's supporters couldn't get enough of it. It's been clear for months that Trump's unfiltered, blunt style is a political asset. Many delegates here in Cleveland see it as a welcome antidote to what they regard as stifling political correctness. Here's Diana Ploss, a Trump delegate from Massachusetts.
For somebody like me who can be a little mouthy, to have people say, you can't say that, you can't, I'm like, what? And I was like falling in line with that, listening to people around me with all this PC nonsense. And I'm thinking, what?
Ploss is a former Democrat who says she's one of the millions who was drawn to Trump precisely because of his willingness to tell it like it is.
I don't look at what he says as much as the effect that it has, right? And he's gotten a lot of people. Listen, I was a Democrat 2 years ago. I'm now a registered Republican. That says something. I mean, I went 7 months ago, I was a volunteer. Now look, I'm a delegate in the convention. I get chills. Like, give me a break.
On the campaign trail, Trump rarely passes up an opportunity to slam what he sees as an excess of political correctness. Here's one of his most famous or infamous encounters with Megyn Kelly of Fox News during a debate in New Hampshire last summer.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president?
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And to be honest with you, this country doesn't have time either.
Do you think that this country does suffer from too much political correctness?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's way overboard. Yeah, we're way overboard on political correctness.
This is John Pyle, a delegate from Kansas on the convention floor.
Anybody's comment about Islam terrorism, then everybody takes that wrong because they think it's a major indictment of all Muslims, and that's not it at all. The border, you know, nobody's really against legal immigration. The problem that we're talking and the things that we want to address is illegal immigration.
And so political correctness prevents that conversation from happening, in your view?
I believe so, because, boy, the minute you start talking about the border, they just think you're going way overboard or you're racist once again on another issue.
Pyle originally supported Ted Cruz, but he says he welcomes Trump's willingness to speak bluntly about tough issues. But some of the delegates here have a different view.
He'll speak a statement, and the press will say, oh, that's politically incorrect. Then the next day, he'll switch the statement. I think what he is actually losing is truth.
Stephen Bayes is a delegate and a Ted Cruz supporter from Central Illinois. He argues that Trump too often uses controversial language to mask an inability to make a coherent argument. Bayes says Trump's style of blunt talk wouldn't get him very far in Illinois farm country.
Like if he was a hog farmer, he wouldn't make a good hog farmer.
Now, why not?
Because he doesn't have honesty. He can't focus on the issue of raising those hogs, getting them to market. He's just constantly talking. Constantly. And they say that's his strong point, but I don't think it is.
But Ken Cope, a delegate from Midlothian, Texas, gives Trump a little more credit than that and says he's appealing to a broad desire across the land for straight talk.
It's one of the reasons he has 13 million votes.
But Cope says what helped Trump win the nomination this week might not be as effective in the months ahead.
He's going to understand that his words do have effect in a much broader scope than what he ever thought, which means you have to be a little more refined in how you're saying things.
In other words, Trump might benefit from embracing just a little political correctness. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
For more now on Donald Trump's plain-spoken, shoot-from-the-hip style, we turn to a writer who's been covering Trump for 20 years. In the new book, Trump and Me, Mark Singer recalls his observations and experiences since he first wrote a profile of Donald Trump, the businessman, for The New Yorker in 1996. Mark Singer joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
You write in your book that Donald Trump once told you that people, quote, somehow know Trump the celebrity. And I'm wondering if you think that's true today in this way, that despite the now year-long presidential campaign, we know Donald Trump the celebrity, but not really Donald Trump the political, Donald Trump the possible president. In short, we don't necessarily know the real Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't really expose a human personal side if he can avoid it. And I don't think that it's possible even to have a very good read, since he has no core beliefs, obviously, and no ideology to know anything other than that superficial celebrity.
You think this is all intentional, that he doesn't want us to know him well? And I ask because, again, talking about his business dealings, Donald Trump once told you that, quote, whatever complicates the world, the more I do, meaning he likes complication. And then he said, it's always good to do things nice and complicated so no one can figure it out. You think he doesn't want people to know him well?
Well, I think he doesn't want people to know him well for personal reasons, because of his awareness of his deep insecurities. But otherwise, there's not a huge amount of self-awareness there. He told one of his biographers, I don't like to analyze myself. I might not like what I think. So I think that he's hiding something from himself and something from the rest of us. And in terms of this presidential race, I just feel that there's so little actual content. And we know Trump's talking points. We know his bromides that he utters, and that's why I don't suppose there's going to be anything new tonight.
Well, a lot of people will be tuning in tonight to find out who Donald Trump is and learn a little bit more about him, those who are not necessarily deeply familiar with him. You write in your book that all along there have been several Donald Trumps: the knowledgeable builder, the hyperbole addict, the narcissist, the perpetual 17-year-old who lives in the zero-sum world of winners and total losers, of loyal friends and complete scumbags, and the insatiable publicity hound. You know, I think that we certainly could say we've gotten a little bit of all of that since the presidential campaign started. And on this most important night for him so far, the night of his convention speech, which Donald Trump do you think we get? Which one shows up?
Well, you're going to be seeing a Donald Trump who's been scripted. If he's not reading from a teleprompter, I will be stunned. That would be the big surprise of the evening for me. So you're going to get a Donald Trump who's been wound up and, you know, given words to say, I believe. And that's quite different from the description that you just read, because that was really who he was, which is a person with, you know, enormous impulsivity. And we saw that a lot, obviously, during the primaries. That's mostly what we saw. And so I think that it's really two different animals, and we're not going to get to know the one that I observed up close and thought about when I was, you know, spending months writing about him in the late 90s.
One more item in the book, a provocative item that you say that I want to ask before we have to leave each other. You say, quote, "I reassure myself that Trump doesn't truly wish to be president. He just doesn't want to lose the election." What makes you believe that?
Oh, I think that the lack of planning, the lack of preparation, the lack of fundraising, the lack of a ground game, all those things. But I think that we've seen ample evidence that he was in this for ego gratification, and because it's an insatiable ego, and he just now he's in a position where, yes, he fears more than anything in life. He dreads being called a loser, and if that happens, that will be very difficult for him to absorb. Who knows what that'll be? But otherwise, I don't think he wants to do the job. He doesn't have the self-discipline to learn. He doesn't have the attention span. And I think he's going to let others, if he miraculously, or maybe now less miraculously, gets elected, I think that there are going to be a lot of other people doing the heavy lifting, not Donald Trump.
Mark Singer, New Yorker writer and author of the new book entitled Trump and Me. Thanks a lot for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.